beyond there. So once again, just thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity Amen. To come down and preach. Go ahead and just turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter number 17, probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. But while I was actually preparing a sermon out of the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I believe this is one of the passages that God used to confirm that I was supposed to go out to Riverhead, New York. Just to give a little background, I graduated from Bible college in 2015, and I came on staff at my home church there in May. And my dad and I had been talking and praying about, you know, what I would do when I graduated Bible college. And we had kind of come to the conclusion that I would come on staff back home and that I would do the music, I would do different aspects, and maybe 10, 15 years down the road that we would transition and I would take the pastorate when the Lord led him to retire. And, you know, whatever time that was, and I was comfortable there, that was my home church. I was in New York City. I was doing what God had called me to do. And then about October of last year, we heard about a church on Long Island. Riverhead is about 70 miles due east of New York City, so straight into the ocean. And there was a church. The pastor we knew, he'd moved to another church, actually in North Dakota. And the church was without a pastor, and they were having a Bible church guy come in and just teach some sermons, and things were starting to go downhill. And in between my dad's church and Riverhead, there's a couple churches in Queens. And on the North Shore, there's pretty much nothing till you reach, nothing that's solid Baptist that you could recommend till you reach Riverhead, 70 miles east. There's a couple churches on Long Island that, you know, that are preaching the gospel, etc., but I couldn't recommend that you go there. In between the Queens County line and Riverhead, there's 5 million people.
Wow.
All right, I'm sorry. There's 5 million people in Queens and Brooklyn. There's 3 million people between there. I'm getting it mixed up. There's 8 million people on Long Island, and there's less than 20 churches on all of Long Island, including the city part of it. But there's 3 million people between Riverhead and where my dad's church is. There's only a couple churches there. And so we were looking at it like, we cannot let this church close.
Man.
We cannot. Because if there was a couple solid people there, and if other people were leaving, but there was a core group that wanted to have a church. And just in this passage, in with David saying, I will go, is what I believe the Lord said, you know what? Somebody needs to go, and no one else is stepping up. So it looks like it's going to be you, Andrew. And so my plans definitely changed drastically. Instead of living in Astoria, Queens, with 250,000 people in 4.5 square miles, I now live in Riverhead, New York. The town is about 33,000 people. It's actually the county seat there. There's farms around Riverhead, New York, potato farms, sod farms. And so the city boy has moved to the country, but there's a church there that needs people. At the city, I'd go pass out tracts at the subway station. Last year at Open Door, we passed out around 84,000 tracts in 1 year. In Riverhead, we go door knocking. And so I'm learning different aspects of it. And that, but what it is God's word needs to go forth wherever it is. If you're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're just going to read the first 10 verses, and we're going to look at the different responses to what was before God's people. So verse number 1 of chapter number 17, you may remain seated, and we'll just read through it, and then we'll pray one more time, and we'll get into it. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched in Succoth, and Azekah, and Esthaven. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched together in the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he fight with me, and to kill me, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you once again. We just pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that as we open up your word, Lord, you would convict us and challenge us with your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Life can be very overwhelming, whether it's moving to Riverhead or, as Pastor mentioned, looking at what is going on in our country, looking at health situations that were prayed for tonight, looking at a church that is down to just a few people and needs to be rebuilt both spiritually and numerically. We can look at what's going on and we can feel very, very overwhelmed. It's true. The problem is, why we often so feel overwhelmed is we often view the problems facing us, view the battles, the obstacles, the trials, whatever it happens to be, we have a tendency to view those with what we see.
Amen.
To view those with what we see, with a natural view, and by natural means, we look through the situation through our eyes. You see, the nation of Israel, this king thing wasn't really working out as they had planned. About 20 years before, if best we can figure, Israel had come to Samuel and said, We're tired of you being judge. Your sons aren't what we exactly want. We're tired of having to go to a prophet. We want a king to be like all the other nations, right? They said, we want a king to be like all the other nations because we're under oppression here and we want a king to lead us out. Now, the important thing to note was they were under oppression not because of their lack of king. They were under oppression because of their sin against God.
Amen.
And so they said, well, if we have a king, then we'll be like all the other nations that are defeating us instead of dealing with the sin problem. So they had picked a king to lead them. So God had said, okay, you want a king? We'll give you a king. Saul, the tallest, the most handsome man in around, was chosen by God to be the first king. And things had worked out all right for a little while, but Saul had begun to do things his own way. And God had rejected him from being king, and so Saul no longer had the presence of God. You remember from 1 Samuel chapter 16, he had to have David come in and play the harp for him just so he could think straight, because he had disobeyed God so often that he was without the presence of God. At this tumultuous time, as that is not a good situation to have your leadership in that state, that's when the Philistine armies decide, we're going to reinvade the land. There had been a kind of a stalemate between the Philistines and Israel for the past 20 years. There, at the Battle of Ebenezer, there had been a victory won, but now there had been constant clashes, and the Philistines come in. We're going to retake it. We're going to subjugate Israel once and for all. This time they brought a secret weapon. They said, we're not just going to come in and try to defeat Israel. We are going to completely intimidate them, and we are going to smash them down. Before this time, there hadn't even been a smith in Israel. The Philistines had come in and taken out those who knew how to make weapons, and so Israel was not in a very strong military state at this time. Then comes Goliath. They gathered to battle, and Goliath steps out. And best we can understand, he was around 9'6", weighed between 600 and 850 pounds. His mail coat, his armor alone weighed 125 pounds. Like, and he was going to fight in that, all right? His spear was between 15 and 16 pounds, just the head of it. It'd be like getting hit with a sledgehammer with a point on it, okay? That's, can we say that Goliath was intimidating? That Goliath was slightly overwhelming? That, and he, what he did, he came and he defied the armies of Israel. He stood before them. He said, he taunted them and said, "Send me a man. If he can fight against me and beat me, that's great. We'll serve you. But if I beat him, the battle's over, folks." And I just imagine Goliath at that point kicking over a small tree or picking up a rock and throwing it half a mile or something. I mean, just absolutely doing everything he could to put the fear of Goliath, the fear of Goliath in the men of Israel. Can I say something? Those that are opposed to God are constantly on the offensive. Those that are against what God stands for, it seems they're always bigger than we are. They always outnumber us. And maybe it's not just those who are opposed to God, but the things that we face, the trials, the obstacles, the situations even that God allows in our life can seem just a little bigger than we possibly can face. Not just a little bit. About 9'6". About 800 pounds versus 180 pounds. Or whatever, how much. The natural response to the problems we face is fear and despair. It said there in verse number 11 that they were dismayed. The idea there is that they were literally, they were in pieces. Okay, they were broken in pieces. They were put in awe. They could not stand before this giant. He seemed invincible. Those who should have been providing leadership were cowering in their tents, offering rewards for others to step up. I'm going to trust in your familiarity with the story of David and Goliath that I won't have to go through every single thing. But there was Saul. He was the tallest. He was the biggest. He should have been the one stepping forward and saying, "You are defying the armies of the living God. I will go and fight. We need to go and defeat this. You may be big, but you are no match for our God. Man. You are no match for the God that we serve. We serve the living God." But he stayed in his tent. He was offering rewards for others to step up. The people of God seemed powerless as for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath stood before them and bellowed his challenges. Into this disaster area, really, this spiritual disaster area, that's when David shows up. He wasn't there to fight. He was there on a message from his father to help his brothers. He was not seeking greatness. He was just being obedient to seek and help his brothers. And what David finds is the army of the living God quaking in fear, hiding in holes, trembling at the voice of this giant. In verse number 23, it says, "And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to these same words." But here's the difference. And David heard them.
Yes, amen.
So David hears this challenge for the first time, and he's like, "Who is this guy?" So he begins going and talking. What's going on? Is anybody going to go fight him? He's still out there. I mean, he begins going down the trench talking. "Will you do this? Who's going to go fight? Hey, who are they getting ready over here?" He's not trying to say, "I'm going to go fight." He's not trying to. He's just looking, saying, "What is going on here?" He's defying the armies of the living God, and the armies of the living God are hiding. He began to speak, and finally, as he begins to talk to different people, they bring David before the king. And in verse number 31, it says, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine.'" He said, if nobody else will go, if nobody's signing up to go and just simply do what needs to be done, if nobody's willing to step up and put it on the line, I'll go. He wasn't saying, I got this, King. He was saying, I'll go. He was simply responding with a willing spirit and faith in the living God. It wasn't that David had come there saying, I'm looking for a fight. It was that he'd come there and he had seen a fight and no one else there. And he said, I'll go. But it wasn't that David was just saying, okay, I'll go. No. David remembered what God had done in his life before. You see, when Saul said to verse number 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You see, David reminded himself and Saul that God had not changed. The same God that David had seen deliver him as a young boy in smaller circumstances, facing a lion, that's still pretty dangerous, a bear, that's still pretty dangerous, but he had seen God work in his life before. He had seen God come through before, and he said, God hasn't changed. Goliath may be a little bit bigger than a bear, but God is still able to do this. God is still able to deliver. The idea there is snatched out of trouble, that there's something going on and it's picked up out of it. He said, God can take me out of his hand. If I go, God is able to do this. You see, David had a faith response instead of a natural response to the giant. We see Saul and the nation of Israel, they're looking at this giant, and here's what they saw. They saw a spear. They saw 9'6". They saw a metal from the head to the toe. They saw a man carrying a shield before him, and they said, I can't do that. And that was exactly right. Amen. David looked at that, and he said, God can take care of that. Amen. He didn't say, I can do that. He simply took what God had given him and used that. He didn't take Saul's armor. He just simply took what God had already given him, a sling, because the power was not in David's sling. The power was not even David's preparation and training before coming to that. The power was that David came in the name of the Lord. Yes. Later, when verse number 45, when David was actually facing the Philistine, David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, David expected God to deliver not only Goliath, but the whole host of the Philistines, so that all the earth would know, no, there's a God in Israel. Yeah. And so that even the Israelites hiding in the holes in the back would say, you know what? It wasn't David who fought that battle. It was the Lord. And God could have used me to fight that battle, not just David. It can be very easy to talk about trusting God, though. What David did was he put himself in a place where God had to work. He runs to meet Goliath. He slings that stone. The Bible says it sinks into his forehead. He cuts off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. You talk about being shamed in front of all your buddies. David, Goliath not only got killed, he got his head chopped off with his own sword. But see, while this is one of the greatest stories ever told, and while even today in the sports world, there's the illustration that is constantly used of David versus Goliath. We hear that of the little guy versus the big guy. But what was God actually showing Israel? What actually was spiritually happening? Because this is not just a story. This is something theological that's going on. This is God showing Himself. You see, God was showing the nation of Israel what He could do with someone who simply trusted God.
Right.
You see, Saul was hiding in his tent. But David could face Goliath with confidence. Face Goliath confident of victory. Why? Because his confidence came from his faith in the living God. You see, we call the story of David and Goliath, right? The story of David and Goliath. The reason why David was able to stand before Goliath, because he knew the real name of the story. It was David's God versus Goliath.
Right.
It was never David versus Goliath. It was David's God versus Goliath. David wasn't the tallest or the strongest. He wasn't the greatest warrior. But the key to success is what it always is. He knew God.
Man.
He knew God's power. He knew God's presence. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The ground of faith is not the sufficiency of the visible means for the performance of the promise, but the all-sufficiency of the invisible God, who will most surely do as He hath said." It isn't what we can see that is going to bring, that is why we have faith. It is who God is that why we have faith. It's who we serve, that we serve the living God. There will be obstacles. There will be battles. There will be trials. The question is, how are we going to view those trials? How are we going to step into those trials? Are we going to say, "Wow, I can't do it, but God can"?
Amen.
Or are we going to say, "I can't do it," and stop? That's what Saul did. He saw a sword. He saw a spear. He saw Goliath, and he said, "No way." Why? Because he saw Goliath through his eyes. He had a natural response. He saw the obstacle that was facing him. He was discouraged. He despaired. But there's a faith response for those who will live with reliance on God. We're not saying live your life with rose-colored glasses or just simply be like David and go and, you know, fight all the... No, we're saying what God allows in your life, you can have two responses to it. You can have a faith response or you can have a natural response. There's something that God wants to change in your life. There's something that God wants to remove from your life. You can say, "I've tried so long and it's not going to happen. I can't get rid of this habit. I can't get rid of this sin." You can have a natural response or you can have a faith response. You can look at what God is calling you to do with missions giving or whatever it is. And you can say, "There's no way my budget's going to work out. There's no way that's going to happen." You can have a natural response or you can have a faith response. You see, David said, "I know a God who took me out of the paw of a lion." You see, I've seen God work before, and since God doesn't change, I think God could work now. And what he did was he viewed the battle through the lens of faith. And he was able to even confidently, he ran towards Goliath. He wasn't like, "Hope he doesn't see me." No, he ran right at Goliath. Why? He said, "The battle is the Lord's. This isn't my battle. This isn't what I signed up to do. This is what God has placed in front of me. And if God has placed it in front of me, then God is going to be with me through it."
Amen.
At Community Baptist Church there in Riverhead, we're in a battle for survival. The church was started back in 2009. It was running about 70 people, but only 17 members. It's running. We've seen the attendance go up. We had a high of 16 twice this past month,
man,
which is an answer to prayer. But can I tell you, the devil's not excited about the church being rescued. He's not. We're trying to reclaim ground for the Lord.
Man.
But we can look at it and say, I'm 26 years old. I've never been a pastor before. I have no clue what I'm doing. Okay? Or I can say, yes, I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, I don't know. But God does.
Amen.
And so I listen to the authority that God has placed in my life. I stay true and faithful to what God has given. And how it turns out in the end will be up to God. But we can say we're going to have a natural response or a faith response. As David said, is there not a cause?
Oh, yes. Amen.
Will you be counted to stand? Some people may stand and cheer from the sidelines, but refuse to get involved. The army of Israel and Saul. Some people will try to help you fight a spiritual battle with what they can't use because they're living in fear. Saul tried to give David his armor.
Yeah.
Others will simply take what God has already given you and say, the battle is the Lord's. He'll deliver. Let's go. It was never David versus Goliath. It was always David's God versus Goliath. It didn't have to be David that stepped up. It could have been anyone else in that army if they'd said, you know what? It's God's. I'll go. The problem was they had a natural view. They saw Goliath and they saw what they saw. Instead of seeing God in the battle. What obstacles are you facing? What are you being confronted with? There's a natural response and there's a faith response.
Amen.
There are going to be obstacles. And are we going to look at the battle with what we hold, or are we going to look with the battle at who God is? With who God is.
Amen.
Because what we base our faith on is not what we hold in our hands. We base our faith on the all-sufficiency of the invisible God. There's something always going to be coming. It's always going to be overwhelming. If it's not one thing, it's going to be the next. If it's not the next thing, it's going to be the next. It's not always 9'6", big and ugly. It may be something small, something hidden. But you still can have the same response. There's still the same choice. We can have a natural response. We can look at it and say, well, it's okay. It's no big deal. We can say, no, this is what God said. This is what I need to do. We serve the living God. God can deliver no matter what's going on. Do you know the living God? And are you willing to let the living God use you to fight the battle? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you tonight. Lord, there's so many things that we face, and I just pray that we would have the correct response to the obstacles, to the battles that you place in front of us. In Jesus' name I pray.